If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
As we grow in Christ, our theme is the second touch. And what I'm finding is that so many Christians, they're just plain tired. And there are a couple of reasons for that. But your tiredness and what I'm seeing in the body of Christ, it's not satanic. There are two specific reasons. Number one, it is the act of ignoring a Sabbath. Perpetual work is the height of arrogance. It is telling God you didn't know what you were doing when you rested. And because I have so much to accomplish, I'm going to work 7 days a week, even for the kingdom. And one of the reasons why we're so susceptible to satanic devices is because we're just plain tired. It works both ways. It causes you to be frustrated. Your nerves are frazzled. You're on edge. You're irritable. And the second thing is when you lack sleep and rest, there is a physiological response where your brain doesn't produce the proper chemicals that you need because you're not resting. God designed us so that at night, serotonin and melatonin begin to come out of the brain. It's supposed to happen at night. And when that happens, the body succumbs. Now, it can be augmented by certain types of food can stir up the release of melatonin. That's why sometimes you eat and get sleepy. Certain types of foods pump you up, and certain types of foods calm you down. And we, African Americans, eat the foods that calm us down. That's why after we eat, we unbutton our trousers and sit back and get sleepy, because what we've done is we've released the serotonin. Now, when you lack sleep, the chemical imbalance in your brain negates the electrical charges between those cells in the brain. When those charges do not kick off, you'd be surprised. If you could really look into your brain, you would actually see electrical charges going off. And when you don't sleep, those cells don't function correctly. And that's when you start having dreams, visions, and prophetic words. Because what happens is you lack the capacity for cognizant thinking. And so the enemy just floods you with misinformation. More people are called to ministry as a result of not sleeping than at any time. So now, when people come to me and tell me they've been called into ministry, I ask them, how many hours of sleep are you getting? No, I'm serious. Because if we understood the concept of rest, you will recognize that when God created the Sabbath, he did it for us. And then he led by example. He said, okay, I don't need rest. I'm God. But if I don't rest, then my creation will say, God, you didn't rest. Okay? So there were certain things he had to do by example. Then there were other things he never did. Like he never took a wife. There is no Mrs. God. And Jesus never took. He didn't have time for the commitment of marriage. He didn't have time for it. Jesus knew that ministry would take away his time from having a substantive relationship with a woman. And he was setting an example. Ministry should not destroy your home. If you're so busy for the Lord that you don't know your spouse, give up ministry. God has somebody else. The kingdom operates on the theory of redundancy. Redundancy means that if you don't do it, God has somebody else. And he doesn't call us to destroy our homes so that the ministry of God can go forth. So many of you are just tired. So our convocation's theme is a second touch. It is not designed to get us all demonstrative and, oh, praise God, I got my second touch, now I can go further. No, It is designed to help us reconnect with God. Now, we've been studying the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, and I hope that by now you kind of understand what he does a little more. If you don't, then I failed, and I need to go back and start at the beginning. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, I need you to go there for the purpose of understanding these segments that we are studying. Now, in the beginning, we talked about Jesus giving us indication in John's gospel of the purpose of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to teach you the things that Christ taught, to bring those things to your remembrance, to teach you the principles of the kingdom of God, and then ultimately to turn you into a representative of Jesus, because we can't do it by ourselves. We talked a little bit, we just touched on Paul's writing to the church, to the Christians at Rome, and he talks about the Holy Spirit's purpose even in that arena. And he says, we don't even know what to pray for as we ought to, which is kind of an interesting term in the Greek. He's basically saying, you know what you want, but you don't know how to ask for it. So the Spirit of God comes in and takes our desires and translates them into phrases that God can understand. Now, Paul is the apostle to the church. Peter is the apostle to the Jews. And Paul, in speaking to the Gentiles, knows that it's necessary that the Gentiles understand the Holy Spirit's work, because they're really not even understanding Jesus. And most of us have a problem understanding Jesus. Pentecostalism brings you a freedom in worship, but it hurts you in understanding God. Pentecostalism brings you a freedom in demonstration, but it hurts you in understanding order and protocol. Because we use terms like, I'm led by the Spirit, which is always suggesting I don't have to listen to people that are in positions for my oversight. I just do what the Lord tells me to do. And nothing could be further from the truth. And so when Paul writes the epistle, the letter to the Ephesians, there's so much in six chapters that we really could preach 6-7 months on the book of Ephesians, but that's not my style. When we get to chapter 4, it's a distinct turn. I say it over and over again, and I'm going to continue to say it as the Lord gives it to me. Ephesians teaches us two things: what we should be, chapters 1 through 3, and what we should do, chapters 4 through 6. It's interesting that in the doing of Ephesians, in those last three chapters, there is a reference to family relationships. We talked about that last time we were together. The reference to family relationships. Husband, love your wife. Wife, submit to your husband. Parents, don't provoke your children. Children, obey your parents. Supervisors, don't harass your workers. Workers, work as unto the Lord. So it seems there that Paul is trying to give us a spiritual insight into all of our personal relationships. If we apply the principles of Ephesians 5, what is God saying? You'll have a better life. Now, this is where Pentecostalism doesn't do us a justice. We promote the so-called, quote-unquote, things of the Spirit, and we ignore the reality of physical lives. We don't deal with husbands and wives. We don't deal with wives and husbands. We don't deal with parents and children, etc. Why? Because it doesn't bring about shouting and dancing. No one shouts at a marriage message. I've never seen anybody when I've taught marriage, you get a, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, go ahead. No, why? Because it hits home. So what we've done in Pentecostal expression is we've applied the drug of worship, just understand what I'm saying, to eliminate the responsibility of obedience. So if I'm shouting and dancing, then I'm not listening. And I can't be held accountable for what I don't know. You see? So a lot of people, not everyone who is responding to me is doing so out of genuine connection. A lot of people are doing it out of pain. When you know, you scream for a couple of reasons. When I was a child and we used to go to those entertainment shows at the Uptown, people, especially the younger girls, they would go down and scream out of pleasure. But then when I was working as a carpenter, I hit my thumb with a hammer. I screamed out of pain. Well, amens are the same way. Some amens are yes, others are oh, God. And so when we get to Ephesians 4, Paul shifts. It is such a noticeable shift in his writing. And this is why I push school the way that I do. You cannot enjoy your Christian walk if you don't understand it. And you can't understand it in the 45 minutes that you force me to preach on Sunday. There is no way I would be what I am today if I just functioned on Sunday sermons. I took 3 to 4 classes a week, plus correspondence courses, and took other courses at other places. I went everywhere to learn about God, flew to other conferences, learning more and more about God. Would you go to a doctor who just has a bachelor's degree and the Spirit's knowledge? Or would you go to one who has a medical degree from Johns Hopkins University, has practiced at the Mayo Clinic, has perfected their craft at the UCLA Medical Center, has come back to work at Thomas Jefferson? Which one do you want? The one who said, God anointed me to remove your appendix? Or the one who says, I've done 7,000 appendix removals? You don't become a master by doing 32 things one time. You become a master by doing one thing 32 times. And you ought to master the word of God. And Paul gave you all the tools you needed.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
08116A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
This fall, Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. and Bethel Deliverance International Church is hosting Friday night explosion services where you can experience high praise, heartfelt worship, and powerful messages. Join us Friday, September 16th, as Pastor W. Lonnie Herndon of the Church of Christian Compassion delivers an empowering word from the Lord. Services begin at 7 p.m. at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. For more information,